Thank you, Aaron, and good evening, everyone. Arcata Fire Chief John McFarland has informed the department's board of directors that he will retire. Again. December 21st will be McFarland's last day with Arcata Fire, a department he's worked for since 2005. This will be McFarland's third retirement. His first came with the City of Eureka in 2002. He was immediately hired by Crescent City and served as chief there until 2005, when after retiring, he was then hired by Arcata. McFarland began his career in 1966 as a volunteer while a student at HSU. He was then hired by Eureka Fire in 1970 and served in every rank until his retirement in 2002. McFarland created the Del Norte Fire Academy at the College of the Redwoods campus in Crescent City, and after 39 years, is ready to step down. As we reported 2 weeks ago, the Arcata City Council is considering a ballot measure that would add a user's tax to PG&E customers who exceed electrical usage above 300% of a PG&E baseline. The Energy Committee will discuss the issue at its meeting on Monday, and if the Council approves the tax hike, it would head to the November ballot for voters to decide. The city has a goal to decrease greenhouse gas emissions by 20% in 2012, and the tax is aimed at those who abuse PG&E's care program, particularly those who run grow houses inside city limits. As an example, a customer who uses electrical heat would have to have a bill over $760 per month to be considered for the tax, and the Energy Committee encourages residents with questions or concerns to attend that Monday meeting. The lawyer representing Richard Salzman in a lawsuit that challenges the City of Arcata's panhandling ordinance said in a statement that a trial on the matter will begin on May 23rd. In March of this year, the Arcata City Council approved the panhandling ordinance that plaintiff Salzman claims is an abridgment of free speech and that the city has overstepped its authority. Salzman and attorney Peter Martin alleged that the city's ordinance criminalizes begging and argued that six sections of the ordinance are unconstitutional. Martin did go on to say that Salzman is not challenging any sections of the city's ordinance against aggressive panhandling. Fortuna police officers were called out to 12th Street last night on a report of a fight. When officers arrived, the subjects had fled the area. And while searching the area, officers found serious vandalism at Fortuna High, damages of thousands of dollars. Using evidence found at the scene and surveillance video, officers then found a 17-year-old juvenile in a field near the school and arrested him on suspicion of vandalism. The 17-year-old was also charged with public intoxication and booked into juvenile hall. And the district attorney's office announced that 30-year-old Martin Alvarado of Pico Rivera has pleaded guilty to several assaults he committed on the Humboldt State campus in 2010. Alvarado pleaded to sexual assault, assault with a deadly weapon, and false imprisonment for his actions on the night of October 24, 2010, when he sexually assaulted a female victim in student housing and then assaulted several more students before police were able to restrain and arrest him. Alvarado faces up to 6 years in prison and will have to register as a sex offender once he's released. You're listening to KINS North Coast News. We'll be right back after this.
Here's Redwood Capital Bank customer CC Walker of Praxis Fitness.
I've been a customer of Redwood Capital Bank for 3 years. I love the excellent, friendly service I receive. I've never had a relationship with a financial institution like I do with Redwood Capital Bank. They know me, they know what I need, and they're always there to help. The personal connection I've experienced with Redwood Capital Bank is above and beyond any other financial institution.
We believe in living our values every day.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you.
You're listening to KINS News and Information. Between now and the June 5th election, we will regularly feature interviews with the candidates running for local office. Today, we feature the candidates for the 2nd District Supervisor seat and their views on one thing they would change in government if they had the power. Up first is incumbent Cliff Clendenin.
Supportive housing. Now, that's housing that would be, that would come with services. This would have people that would, you know, would be mental health professionals. There would be available services of any kind. Somebody to make sure that somebody took their meds. This could be for seniors, disabled. We've got 35% vets out on the street. We're going to need in the county a housing trust fund, probably to put some seed money. This will be a complicated arrangement.